The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Manon a heron, agus fearna heron.
I speak with the title.
Utron heron is Michelin Neil Utron.
His privilege vori, a very tough a maroctron the heron.
Well, Kerry County Council yesterday heard submissions from 14 presidential hopefuls, while Sinn Féin is planning talks with Catherine Connolly, as Mary Lou McDonald has ruled herself out of the race. I'm joined on the line now by Sean Defoe, who is political correspondent for News Talk and host of the Let Me Explain podcast. He's currently in Mullingar at the Fine Gael Think-In and will head to Fianna Fáil It's Think-In later on. Sean, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, first of all, let's talk about Kerry yesterday. It was a non-event in the end.
Yeah, I liked the way the Journal described it this morning as being like dancing with the stars without the dancing or the stars. And that it was just kind of a non-event. Look, they're not going to vote until I think it's the 15th when they have decided. So there was a bit less jeopardy in it yesterday. But certainly looking at all the different speakers, I'm not sure anyone actually managed to convince. Gareth Sheridan did get one or two councillors saying they would consider giving him a vote, but it does look as though if this is the tone that's going to be set, and because of the restrictions other councillors are putting on in terms of you don't get to speak unless you have a certain number of nominees, Kerry just let pretty much anybody speak as long as they could confirm they were eligible to run in the election. I think it looks fairly unlikely any of these characters are going to come through to the ballot.
Okay, so we could be down to three candidates. Heather Humphreys, we know. Jim Gavin or Billy Kelleher, we'll know later today. And Catherine Connolly, we know. Just three in the field.
It could be 1990 all over again, when the last time there was only three actually in the field and the most condensed. And so I suppose there's two parts of that. We'll get into Fianna Fáil maybe in a minute because there's quite a bit to discuss there. But just to pick up the Sinn Féin point, perhaps they are the one party really that could put a fourth in the field. I know there is some work going on behind the scenes from the likes of A&2 to try and get Maria Steen on the ballot through the Oireachtas route. Looks kind of like herding cats trying to get 20 of the other Oireachtas members together to support somebody. And even here at the Fine Gael Think-In, there was multiple opinions on what Mary Lou meant yesterday when she ruled herself out as to what that they would do next. And some ministers even saying to me they thought it sounded like she was going to run a Sinn Féin candidate because of the way she talked about a United Ireland and that she believes there will be a referendum on the United Ireland in the lifetime of the next president, and therefore they want someone there who has their sort of Republican values. The read I took of it when I was listening to her on with Shane Coleman, but also other interviews that she did, was it sounded more that if her reasoning is largely to get Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil out of office as to why she is staying as the party leader and in the Dáil, surely that reasoning would carry over into the presidential election as well. And your best chance of beating a Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil candidate is by backing Catherine Connolly and having that unity candidate. So that was my impression, but trying to read Sinn Féin candidates is quite difficult.
Okay, so let's move on to Fianna Fáil and that battle between, a secret ballot, by the way, between Billy Kelleher and Jim Gavin. What's at stake here?
Well, quite a bit of it, notwithstanding that there's the actual presidential nomination to get and potentially to be the favourite even to win the presidency if Jim Gavin goes through. But there's also a little bit of discontent behind the scenes in the way that Micheál Martin has handled this. Now, Micheál Martin's leadership style is quite insular. He has a very small group of confidants who know what's really going on in his mind, and he doesn't usually share his plans until they're well formulated and well ready. And that just fermented over the summer with a lot of people in Fianna Fáil, even cabinet ministers, being really unsure until last minute whether they actually had a decent candidate. And then, like, the 46A too came along at the same time. And I wonder if Billy Kelleher had tipped his hand and actually declared a bit earlier in the summer, could he have sewn this up but before Jim Gavin ever got on the pitch? As it happened, Micheál Martin brought forward Jim Gavin. He now has the backing of the entire cabinet and seems on the face of it the very easy favourite to win this vote. He has more than 30 publicly declared supporters within Fianna Fáil. 36 is the magic number that you need. I think Billy Kelleher only has 7. But there is a lot of talk that that leaves a lot of the parliamentary party undeclared. There's about 10 votes the Kelleher camp reckons that are unaccounted for, that could swing one way or the other. And there's a bit of the traitors as well going on between the faithfuls. The traitors wondering, well, are all the people who declared for Jim Gavin actually going to vote for him? Probably not. Are all the people who privately told Billy Kelleher they'll vote for him vote for Billy Kelleher? Probably not. So quite a bit of spectacle even outside of RTE1 to watch now today.
Now, I don't know whether you read the column by Fintan O'Toole in the Irish Times saying there is a candidate there that should be in the fray. I would never vote for that candidate, but she should be there. And that's Maria Steen. And he outlines, you know, for democracy and for people to be truly represented, given, you know, there are diverse views around the country about traditional values, so-called abortion, all of that, that there should be a candidate for which people, for whom people can vote one way or the other. What do you say to that? Because the Constitution allows for different methodologies for getting in, and it looks like the big parties are saying, sorry, we're not allowing the Constitution to function.
Yeah, well, actually, Simon Harris had a very good point on this yesterday. He was saying that nowhere in the Constitution does it say that Fine Gael has to facilitate non-Fine Gael members and has to facilitate someone who's actually going to compete against them. So constitutionally, there is this ability to get on it, but it's still your job as a candidate to go out and get it. I didn't read the full piece. I did see the headline. And actually, going into yesterday, I thought if anyone was going to be a dark horse for the councils, it could be someone like Maria Steen, because there are a lot of councillors who would share her views, who would be much more conservative than maybe the rest of the parliamentary party would be in Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil. But the fact that she didn't seem to get a whole pile of pickup yesterday in Kerry Council, which is dominated by independents and which may be one of those few you could expect to flip as an independent candidate, gave me a bit of pause. And just speaking to others across the country, I'm just not sure the numbers are there. There is definitely a point in that if this does go ahead, there isn't going to be a candidate who's more to right of centre. There isn't going to be a very conservative candidate on the ballot. We've obviously got Catherine Connolly, then you've got Jim Gavin as well, who we don't know what his views are, but we think he's roughly centrist or slightly right of centre. And then the same for Heather Humphreys, being very traditional Fine Gael. So there will be a whole bunch of people, and that was reflected maybe in the poll at the weekend when there was 39% undecided, who will look at this and say, well, there's not someone who entirely fits me there. And you wonder, will that lead to a lower turnout?
Well, even exactly the last time? Just one text has popped up in front of me now. If there are only three in the field, I will not be voting. How uninspiring a list. Only 43% turnout at the last presidential election. Expect the same or lower this time.
Yeah, you could. Now, last time was really historically low. And the part of the reason was that everyone knew Michael D was going to win. No one even bothered voting to challenge him, and the fact that Peter Casey came from nowhere to get a quarter of all votes that was cast reflected that. And I think that texter could be right. There's a lot of people who may well just stay at home and don't see themselves in any of those candidates. Like, I haven't really bought into this Gareth Sheridan idea of you have to have someone young on the ballot, even as someone who is relatively close to his age. But if you were trying to look at someone and say, God, did they ever, you know, what life experience did they have that I would share as someone under the age of 35? Very little. So it'd be interesting to see what way that goes. And the fact that it is so tight in the polling makes this, from a political nerd point of view, a very, very interesting presidential election, in that it is very, very difficult to call. But I wonder, a bit like the general election was last year, is it going to be a bit uninspiring?
Yeah, but you'd imagine that whoever is ahead between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, that's the candidate that'll get home, because you can't necessarily see Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael transferring to Catherine Connolly. So, you know,
well, it depends on how it shakes out, because I actually think if it's three candidates, that it could be advantage, particularly to Heather Humphreys, because remember, usually we're talking about transfers and all the rest of it. If there's only three candidates, there's only going to be one transfer. So if Heather Humphreys could finish ahead of either of the other two candidates, let's say Catherine Connolly comes last, you would expect a lot of the female transfer from her to go to Humphreys. And if Jim Gavin came in third, you'd expect a lot of the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael transfer to go to her. So if Humphreys could just make sure she wasn't in that third position, there's a very clear advantage there. But of course, political lines might not transfer, in that a lot of Catherine Connolly supporters would never vote for someone from Fine Gael, and that a lot of the men who vote for Jim Gavin, God knows where their vote would go.
Now, the Fine Gael thinking, obviously a lot dominated. They talk about pre-budget considerations, but you get nothing from the politicians. They won't confirm anything, nor should they, I suppose, in advance of the budget. So all the talk has been of Simon Harris's abuse at the hands of these keyboard warriors and the wannabe bombers and so on. The question of what they're going to do about it, I mean, Simon Harris says he has ways of meeting the tech giants and so on. But it seems to me that they need to take this on. face it down, absolutely, immediately face it down, and perhaps bring in legislation that turns these guys into publishers. That would put manners on them. They're unwilling to do that. I wonder why.
Yeah, I suppose there's an element of being scarred from the bill that they tried to introduce in the last government that got the digital media bill that got so much public pushback, not only here, but from councillors as well, from the right wing, from Elon Musk himself and all of these social media giants. And it was sort of quietly dropped heading into the new government. And now all this kicks off again. Simon Harris was really quite elusive yesterday when I asked him, you know, what's your solution here? Because trying to put the genie back in the bottle of the level of abuse that they've got is probably an impossibility in today's world. So you have to address it, I would think, in some other different way, through prosecutions or whatever that happens to be. He went a good bit further, I thought, today on Newsjob Breakfast with Shane about the onus and responsibility be on the social media companies. But the social media companies, and X in particular, they've monetized hate. That is their business model. It is to get people on and get people paying for subscriptions and to rile them up and get them so angry that they check it every day and they tweet and they get angry at each other. Like, literally, hate is what they are profiting on. So you can't at all rely on them to do something responsible in this space. Trying to go after somebody who has made some of these anonymous threats, it takes a lot of time. It quite often takes money to go through the courts. You can really only do it if you're in a privileged position, like being someone who is in elected office, maybe who's being paid quite well, but it doesn't protect anybody else. So it's a very difficult thing. There's no one easy fix for it. But you do wonder, if this was another jurisdiction, would they be coming down an awful lot harder on these people? And does that need to happen for a time? Do a few examples need to be made that if this is not an acceptable way to behave in a democracy, if you said that to somebody in the street, you'd be shunned as a pariah. Why should it be any different if you do it online?
Sean, thank you very much for joining us. That's Sean Defoe, the host of Let Me Explain podcast, and also, of course, political correspondent for News Talk. He will be reporting on these political developments right throughout the day.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.